hold on.
Are you based up here?
Hey, everybody on the phone. This is Corey, Clean Fuels Program, and this is the for the public hearing for the rulemaking. So it's about 1:30-ish now. It's about 1:33, I guess. I want to wait another 5 minutes just to see if anybody else comes into the room here, and so we'll keep you on hold. Okay, we'll get started here. So good afternoon, everybody. This is Corey with DEQ, Clean Fuels Program. And we are here for the public hearing portion of this Clean Fuels Program 2018 rulemaking. So for today, I will be serving as the department's hearing officer. Also here from the agency is Bill, and he will be providing the overview of the rulemaking package a little later on. I just wanted to let everybody know that the hearing is being recorded, even the phone line as well, to maintain the record. And so what I want to do first is go through some introductions of folks that are here in the room and then followed by whoever's on the phone. So why don't we start there?
Graham Noyes, and I'm here today on behalf of the Low Carbon Fuels Coalition and also representing the alternative jet fuel producers.
Jeff Bissonnette with the Union of Concerned Scientists.
John Thornton with Clean Future.
And Oscar Garcia with Chevron.
Okay, can we go to the phone? Can you please, so I'm going to be writing down your names and affiliations, if you can take it a little slower so I can make sure I get everything accurate. And then everybody on the phone, can you just please announce yourselves?
This is
is Mark Bunch with BP.
Thanks, Mark.
This is Heather Gullick, G-U-L-L-I-C, with POET.
Thanks, Heather.
Hi, Corey. This is Ryan Lambert, National Biodiesel Board.
Thanks, Ryan.
Mark Ventura, with POET.
Thanks, Mark.
And Jeremy Ramkow with Pacific Ethanol.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Anybody else on the phone? Okay. So today is September 20th, and the time is approximately 1:36. So we are at our DEQ headquarters building. And again, the purpose of this meeting is to take public comments on the CFP 2018 rulemaking. So first, some logistics, and I guess we've actually kind of covered this in the room, but, you know, the locations of the restrooms are right out that way. And then the emergency exits are along this wall as well. So if alarms just go off. Actually, we've never had an actual.
We've had a fire drill, to be clear, but we have not had to evacuate otherwise.
Okay, so everybody in the room must sign the sign-in sheet, and that's happened. And then everybody on the phone call, I've added your name to the sign-in sheet as well. For people that do intend to provide oral testimony at this hearing today, I've asked the people in the room to fill in the sign-in sheet, and I do have three people that are signed up to provide oral testimony. Anybody on the phone, do you intend to provide oral testimony today? Hi, who just entered the call?
Hi, it's Julie Whitcover, UC Davis.
Thanks, Julie. Okay. So is there anybody on the call that wants to provide oral testimony? You don't need to let me know if you're going to be providing written, but just oral today. Okay. So the deadline to submit written comments is 4 p.m. tomorrow, the close of the comment period, September 21st. And that written comment submission needs to be done through our webpage. I did get a notification today that somebody that tried to submit a comment earlier today that it was not working. So I have notified our IT folks, and they're working on it. So hopefully it will get fixed soon. If it does not get fixed, what I've been told to do is just to have you send the written comments into me. They need to be into my email box before 4 p.m. tomorrow. But for anybody that does send it to me, and if the website gets fixed, I'll be responding to that email and having you submit it formally through the website. Okay, so after the public comment period closes tomorrow, then we will be preparing a summary of the comments received and responses to the comments, and we will consider revisions to the proposed rules. All of that information will be included in a staff report that we prepare for the Environmental Quality Commission as part of its final recommendation for rule adoption. And that rule adoption is currently scheduled for the EQC meeting on either November 15th or 16th, meeting to occur in Portland. And as a reminder, the commission has discretion to adopt all, part, or none of the proposed rules. They can also propose postpone adoption or hold additional public hearings as part of their action. So at this time, are there any questions about the process and the timeline? No? Okay. So what I'll have Bill do now is just go over a very brief overview of what the 2018 rule package is.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
The goal of the Clean Fuels Program is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from Oregon's transportation fuels by promoting lower carbon production methods for existing fuels and the innovation, commercialization, and deployment of new low-carbon alternative fuels. While the Clean Fuels Program has been operating since 2016, there are several needs that this proposed rulemaking is seeking to address. The agency is proposing to amend the Clean Fuels Program rules under Division 253 of Chapter 340 of the Oregon Administrative Rules. The proposed rule changes include updating the life cycle carbon intensity models used to determine the carbon intensity of fuels, and the resulting changes from those updates to the program's lookup table values, clean fuel standards, the energy economy ratios for certain applications, and temporary fuel pathway codes. We also plan to add new categories of fuel applications that can be used to generate credits, including forklifts, transportation refrigeration units, and add new fuels that can generate credits, such as alternative jet fuel and renewable propane. Finally, we are making a number of additional housekeeping changes and updates to the rules based on our experience in implementing the program since 2016. In this rulemaking, DEQ is also proposing to amend rules under Division 12 of Chapter 340 of the Oregon Administrative Rules to classify certain violations of Division 253 and establish or clarify enforcement criteria for those violations of the Clean Fuels Program rules.
Okay. So, and actually, I just was checking my email, so it does seem that the comment on the webpage to submit written comments is working. And so feel free to submit your comments directly via the webpage.
And remember, it's a 4 p.m. deadline, not a 5 p.m. deadline. Somebody always forgets that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So now I'd like to just begin the public testimony portion of this meeting. So I've got three people in the room that have signed up to speak, and we'll just go in order of the in the order that I got the piece of the paper. So, Graham Noyes.
Thank you. My name is Graham Noyes. The first oral comment I'm providing is on behalf of the Low Carbon Fuels Coalition. The Low Carbon Fuels Coalition is a nonprofit dedicated to the support and expansion of low carbon fuel policies. We would like to express our strong support for the rule package that's been put forward by DEQ. We appreciate the work that has gone into the program and the continued evolution of the program and do not have any recommended changes or critiques of the program to offer at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Did you want a second set of comments as well?
Separate from that, as DEQ is aware, I have been working with the alternative jet fuel producers, both in California and in Oregon, on this matter. The specific companies that I'm representing are World Energy Paramount, formerly Altair Fuels, Fulcrum Bioenergy, Gevo, Neste, Red Rock Biofuels, and Velocis. We would like to offer our strong support for the recommendation and the specific proposals to include alternative jet fuel that is uplisted in Oregon as a credit-generating fuel on an opt-in basis into the Clean Fuels Program. This proposal is in parallel with the proposal in California, and to our knowledge is consistent with that proposal. We think having alignment for both programs is very favorable. We will submit and have submitted detailed written comments to the record in terms of the benefits of including alternative jet fuel on an opt-in basis to the program. We do have some very specific suggestions regarding language issues, just two specific issues that I think are both best addressed by written comments,
and we will be submitting written comments on those. It is our understanding neither of those suggestions changes the intent that DEQ has expressed in terms of how the fuels should fit within the program. It's simply a matter of the fact that because aviation fuels are generally exempted from the program, the position of opt-in fuels is a little bit complicated to fit into the structure, and so we have some input on that regard. Very much appreciate the opportunity to offer oral comments for the record today.
Okay. Thank you, Graham. Next in the room, Oscar Garcia from Chevron.
So this is Oscar Garcia from Chevron. Chevron worked with WSPA, Western States Petroleum Association, to submit comments as part of this process. And I just wanted to refer to the July 27th, 2018 comments submitted to DEQ and also written comments that will be submitted either today or later tomorrow, mainly around a few clarifications that would help Chevron better understand how to address some of the changes, mainly around the transition from GREET 2.0 to 3.0. And I guess my only main comment is just this continued concern around the uncertainty created by the requirement to notify DEQ if CARB revokes or modifies a pathway. That can it has the potential of creating some uncertainty for folks that enter into some of these contracts with the suppliers of these low CI fuels. And I mean, the risks around that are around the possibility of delegating authority to ARB around the review of these pathways, and also potential violations of due process. So we just want to make sure that that process is fair, that review process, should that ever occur, and we just wanted to make sure that DEQ was aware that this new requirement could create some uncertainty. So that's it for Chevron. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Oscar. And then next in the room, Jeff Bissonnette, Union of Concerned Scientists.
Thank you. Again, for the record, Jeff Bissonnette, representing the Union of Concerned Scientists. UCS has been an active participant from afar, with my colleague Jeremy Martin being the one that has taken the bulk of the work. We have reviewed the proposed rules, are very strongly in support. We appreciate the opportunity to be a part of the process, and will continue to be part of the process once hopefully the rules are adopted and begin the implementation. Thanks again. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Okay. Anybody else in the room want to provide any oral testimony? No. Okay. Last call for anybody on the phone that would like to provide any oral testimony. Okay. No. Okay. So that ends the public hearing, the testimony part of this public hearing. Like I said, Bill, you wanted to add something else?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. So, again, as a reminder, you have until 4 p.m. tomorrow to submit written comments, and then look for the staff report that will be going to our Environmental Quality Commission. They usually post their materials about a week ahead of their meeting, so the meeting is going to be November 15th, 16th. Okay? Any last questions on the call at all? Okay. Thank you, everybody, for calling in and for being here in the room.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.